Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And you're Frank. And today's beer for Frank is...
My beer is 21st Amendment Brewery's Brew Free or Die IPA.
Oh, that's an excellent choice, Frank.
I
highly approve.
What's yours?
Mine is Budweiser, the king of beers.
The king of beers.
And yes, it I did buy this because of the puppy commercial. I'm dead serious.
Well, we have
never buy anything from a commercial, but that... Silly puppy commercial did it.
Well, puppy commercial was quite a tearjerker. It did tug at my heartstrings.
It was like Homeward Bound in 30 seconds.
It really was.
It and was, you know, amazing. What?
We have something in common because I bought this craft brew because of the other Budweiser commercial from the Super Bowl where they made fun of craft brewers. So there you go.
Yeah, I did not actually like that commercial as much. But it didn't stop me from buying the beer.
It seemed kind of desperate. It seemed kind of like they were like, well, yeah, maybe people like beer that's, you know, made like by people who really care about beer a lot. But we're Budweiser, so, you know, like us.
Yeah, I got that a lot, too.
Yeah, that was kind of the vibe.
It's not my favorite, but I like it.
It's okay. I'm just such a beer snob now. I used to be like, yeah, I'll drink Blue Moon I still drink Blue Moon, but that was like the best I could possibly imagine at a certain point when I was like, 21,
yes.
I was like, oh man, Budweiser. But then like for an extra dollar or two, I could get a Blue Moon, which is like, oh, the best.
I know.
and now it's like, I love my Blue Moon still, but now I try to diversify my palate a little bit more these days.
I work with a guy that just started with us and just fresh out of college, and a bunch of us went out to get drinks after work.
Yes.
And he ordered a Coors Light, I think. It was either Coors or Bud Light, and everybody was like, ooh, Coors Light, what you doing? Like, come on. Like, there's all this stuff on tap. And he's like, hey. I just got out of college. You think I could afford anything else but this?
Fair. Everyone feels like a jerk.
Yeah, I know. No, they didn't feel like a jerk at all. They just continued to make fun of him.
Rag on him.
But it didn't stop him from drinking it, so
well,
cheers to
him.
Yeah. But
Today's topic of conversation is something that is pretty near and dear to my heart, and I know you're into it as well. And actually, it was your idea to chat about this today.
No, it was my idea.
which is funny. I thought we'd save this for another day, but you were like, no, let's talk about it today. And I was like, all right, I can talk about this anytime.
It's because today is Judgment Day.
The Terminator franchise. It's my terrible
back.
And then he was.
And he was many times.
Many, many times.
Maybe he's more not done. Than he should be.
And he's not done yet.
But he's still back.
He's back every time. That's right. We're talking about the Terminator franchise. One of my favorite film franchises. Although, admittedly, I came to it kind of later in life. As I did with many, but this I came to.
People just assume you came to them later in life.
At this point,
now.
If they've been listening, they know that. But this I came to even later than many of the other things you've talked about. Do you remember the first time you saw a Terminator movie?
I remember I saw the second one first, as per my usual seeing things out of order.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I think most people, or many people, saw the second one first. Many people of our age group who were just a little too young to have seen the first one in theaters or the second one in theaters, I think a lot of us saw the second one first.
Yeah. I mean, there's almost – almost 10 years between them. What are there, 7 years between them?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's, I mean,
yeah, that's quite
even when Judgment Day came out, I was only four, five, four, yeah.
Yeah, I was like three.
Yeah, see, so there you go. So definitely didn't see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Just saying. No, I actually don't. I have no memory of seeing Terminator, any of them, for the first time.
Oh, interesting.
I just feel like they were part of the – it's like one of those things that will feel like maybe the, like it's a part of your consciousness.
Yeah, it's just not, always there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's always there, like Skynet.
So, I think you mean Google. That's their
always
name.
Watching you. Yes, Google, the Skynet of our time. But I love them.
So. Well, I, for one, embrace our Google overlords.
I do, too. I mean, if it was like our Alta Vista overlords, I'd, I might feel ooh,
that'd be,
a little
that'd be
kind of
hard to get on board with. But
yeah. bow down to your Bing yeah. overlords, you know. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
What's your memory of Terminator?
My very first memory of Terminator, period, goes back way before I saw any of the films. It was 1993. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as with most things
and
in my
Sox
life.
The Sox had just won the pennant. And it's just more
it was a warm day. Yeah. It was a Tuesday. No, it was actually a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was probably a Sunday morning. After Paul McCartney had appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
As with most things, this can be traced back to my love of the Beatles in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And
apparently
and
like that's I said, how this, your calendar is set.
That yeah. really is. It's the Beatle calendar. But yeah, this is my first memory of a reference to Terminator, like my first awareness of Terminator. This is not mm-hmm. the first time I saw it. So I was like 4 years old. Paul McCartney was on SNL, and he did the infamous Chris Farley Show sketch, which is now beloved by SNL fans, you know, mm-hmm. Beatle McCartney fans, where Chris Farley is a flustered interviewer having on a talk show, and he's interviewing Paul McCartney, mm-hmm. and he asks him a whole bunch of stupid questions, and one of them is, did you see The Terminator? You should see that movie. It was really good. It's really funny. Anyway, so that was my first. I was like, I don't know what that is, but that's okay. It's a movie.
I don't know what Terminator is, but it was
that's
a
movie.
Funny line.
That was people laughed at it, so I guess it was funny. And then you know, obviously later, it is like you said, it's part of the culture, right? So I'll be back, and things like that are just part of the culture.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yes, and so you know those references, even if you've never seen the movie. Even if you've never seen Short Circuit, you know Johnny Five is alive. You know things like that. So I had not seen the movie for many years, but I knew those references and that sort of thing. But what finally kicked it off was in 2008, I believe. I was made aware of the TV show Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Mm-hmm. And some many friends of mine were watching that show, many Twitter friends of mine in particular, people who I was friends with primarily through Twitter. And I wanted to be kind of part of the group. So I was like, all right, I want to start watching the show so I can tweet with you guys about it and like know what you guys are talking about. I feel I have a FOMO over here. Mm-hmm. So I watched the Terminator, the 1984 original.
Yep.
And then I watched Terminator 2. And then, regrettably, I watched Terminator 3.
Mm-hmm. And, a movie I have not seen.
Yeah. Well, you're not missing out on much.
That's what I've told.
I got caught up on the series to that point. And then the series got canceled that same yep. season that I started watching it. So that was sad.
You are a death to television, Frank.
I am as much death to that to television as Summer Glau.
Oh, see, Arrow's still on, so I think that curse is broken.
Maybe so.
I really hope that curse is broken.
Maybe so. She was great on Arrow.
Yeah, she was.
She was great.
For what she was given to do. Yeah,
yeah, she wasn't given much, but...
No, she was not.
But she was. She did well with it. Yeah, so that is my Terminator story, and then Terminator Salvation came out in theaters that year or the year after. I don't quite remember. And
a
you know,
movie
this is,
I did see. That was okay. In 2009.
2009, okay, yeah. See, I'm just kind of trying to... Keep it cash tonight. Normally, I like have Wikipedia or IMDb up when we talk about these things, but I'm like, it's Beer with Geeks. We're just chilling out, kicking back with some beers, and talking about geekdom, so like it's okay if I don't have the details right. If I was, this is just us talking, having conversation, I wouldn't have the details in front of me. So this is verisimilitude, you guys.
You're right.
This
I actually knew that was 2009 because that was the year I graduated college.
Oh, fair enough.
I remember going to see it around
right on.
Based on all of that. That otherwise, I would
Star
not
Trek?
Remember that at all. It is the same year as Star Trek.
Oh, that's like, wow, what a disparity. yeah, that movie was okay, but not fantastic, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, I really enjoyed the first two films in this franchise, and then I loved the show as well. I'm keeping it positive tonight. We're keeping it positive. We're Beer with Geeks. We're a positive bunch. The Terminator, I think, is one of the classic action films of all time, sci-fi and action films of all time. Mm-hmm. You got your time travel. Mm-hmm. You got big guns and explosives. Mm-hmm. You got robots. Mm-hmm. You have chase scenes. You have that mm-hmm. fantastic, fantastic music mm-hmm. by Brad Fidel.
It's an interesting theme to hum to yourself when everyone's like, do the Terminator
the
theme.
The chase
like,
music. I mean, the Terminator theme is, I think, actually one of the great film themes.
I think it's a recognizable theme and used quite a bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
A lot of trailers hatch on the they take the Terminator theme and use it in their trailers, is what I was trying to say.
Well, yeah, I mean it's that sound, that like ba bum bum ba bum type of sound.
It's like we went through that period of Transformers sound inside trailers for a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like people rip it off. They don't actually use the theme, but they come very close to using it just because it's like it's a good action movie sound.
It's awesome.
Totally. And this is like James Cameron. This film was like James Cameron kind of coming into the public spotlight. For most people, this was big.
Yeah.
This was the debut into the public consciousness for James Cameron in many, many ways. So, I mean, it was really his first major film.
Oh right, you know, for some reason, I always think that James Cameron directed Alien, even though that was Ridley Scott, and Aliens is James Cameron.
Aliens is James Cameron. That was a couple years later.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why that I always think that James Cameron has something to do with the first one. Maybe because it's so like these are the special effects and blah blah blah, and that's such his thing. So I just naturally associate it with him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's true. He also did Rambo.
James Cameron did?
Rambo The First Blood Part 2. Yeah. So he has his roots in that franchise as well. This was his debut on the major motion picture scene.
Mm-hmm. James Cameron. Now, see, I'm so not up on my Terminator the same way. I've never seen the Sarah Connor Chronicles, even though you told me for years to watch it. And I was like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then it was canceled. And then I have never gone back to it because it's canceled.
Which is a sad, sad turn of events. That show I maintained at the time and still maintain that at the time it was the best written show on television. It had the best writing staff.
You've said that a lot about that show. What is it about that show that makes it such quality writing?
So it's not just, when I say writing, I don't just mean dialogue, although that's great. I mean, like when you say that a novelist is a great writer, you don't just mean like their grammar is really good or the dialogue between the characters is really good. You mean that the story that they weave and the way the craft and the artistry that goes behind weaving that story, the different pieces, how they tie into each other, how they come together, how things that seem unrelated eventually end up to be related, that kind of thing. Those are the things that go into a novelist being a great writer, right?
Yeah.
And that's how I look at this show, is that it's a piece of great writing. It's like a great sci-fi novel being performed in a 1 hour a week drama series. It's top-notch storytelling, not just the way the characters talk to each other, not just the way they interact, not just the characterizations of the characters, all those things put together, plus the events that transpire, all of it. It's just everything. Everything about the writing is fantastic on that show. And granted, you have to be a fan of that, of the sci-fi genre, and you have to, you know, kind of buy into like robots mm-hmm. and time travel and all this stuff in order to be a fan of it. But if you are a sci-fi fan to begin with, it's a pretty easy sell.
And that's what I think is funny for my relationship with the Terminator, or the Terminator franchise for that matter. Is that I like time travel. I like robots. I like movies with big guns. I like chase scenes, and I like epic scores. I don't know why Terminator doesn't necessarily fall flat for me, but it doesn't like excite me the way that other things do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's the same relationship with Doctor Who. I like weird space things
yeah.
and aliens and comedy and British people. And I'm like, but I don't understand.
So two things. First mm-hmm. of all, when you said I like sci-fi, I was like, I love democracy. I love the Republic. Once this crisis is abated, I will lay it down. Anyway, we haven't gotten to that movie yet.
No, we haven't.
We'll do our commentary of that movie eventually. I know what you mean. I have certain things that I just can't get into either. And I think you've given Terminator more chances than I've given many of those things.
I have given Terminator a lot of chances. Maybe not as – like I haven't seen Terminator 3 or the Sarah Connor Chronicles. So that's yeah. my – I haven't given it the full chance yeah. I could.
I would say that the you know, the ultimate Terminator fan, the essential Terminator fan will have seen, you know, all four movies that are out to date and both seasons of the Sarah Connor Chronicles. But mm-hmm. somebody who's like a casual fan, like – To get the heart of the franchise and really appreciate it, the first two movies are really all you need. If you still like it, you know, then watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And if you still want more, then watch the other two movies, but with the understanding that they are not as good as the rest. But I understand. Listen, there are certain things that I don't really care for very much either. I think I've already mentioned on this show how I'm not really that big into like swords and sorcery and wizardry and that kind of thing.
No,
I like Harry Potter.
It just hurts me so much.
I know, but like, it hurts me that you don't like Doctor Who as much as I would think that you would, just based on what I know about you.
I know. Although I have been giving those episodes.
You have. You absolutely have.
And I have been enjoying them. And
yeah, no, totally. But like,
yeah.
in our 7 years of friendship, you know, I'm like, okay, so I know what Tim likes. He likes these things, that thing, you know, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And yet, I thought you would like Doctor Who more than you did, but that's fine. You don't have to. I don't really care for Lord of the Rings as much, or The Hobbit as much, or God knows, I don't really care about Game of Thrones. Like I really don't care for Game of Thrones.
Friendship over. It's well, about the political dealings of the people in Westeros. It doesn't really have to do with swords or magic at all. I'm lying. Actually, okay. I'm actually very factual in the way that I just explained that. But
I'm sure you are. But
swords have to do a lot with it, and magic to a lesser extent, but now more to an extent as we head into season 5.
I just like I see dragons and swords and flames, and my eyes just start to glaze over.
That's so interesting. We've talked about this a couple of times where you just have if you label yourself as a geek or a nerd, something like that, you have to like try, you should dabble in all things and know sure. that, you know, one is not for others. You know, there are people who love role-playing games.
Yeah.
Or cosplaying or
LARPing,
all of those things, and they're not for everyone. And so there's different Correct. Branches for different things.
Right. Yeah, I
enjoy the occasional role-playing game, but
we all have our geeky blind spots, right? The things that we mm-hmm. just aren't in, like it's just like it's maybe it's kind of on our radar, but we don't really know it's there because we don't really not into it. It's our geeky blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Terminator has been one of yours. Like I said, the fantasy world has been one of mine.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I think Terminator is very It's pretty hard sci-fi, right? There's not a lot of fantasy. Like Star Wars, you could people have argued for decades whether Star Wars is it sci-fi, is it fantasy, is it like
it's science
a Western?
It's you know? Sci-fi. In science fiction, things are made out of metal. And in
this is your fantasy, argument.
Things are made out of wood. It's like that's my argument. Like,
what about Firefly then?
Things are made out of metal in Firefly.
Things are made out of wood too.
Well, things are made out of wood in Star Wars too, but you're missing the point. Do you build your house? Do you build your house with wood? Do you get from transport? Do you get from place to place via a horse and carriage or wagon or?
What about when they build things out of stone?
Who's they?
Who's they? I don't know.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
What the hell is an aluminum falcon? It's Game of Thrones. Don't they have like? Don't they? Come on, Bilbo Baggins' house is not built out of wood entirely.
No, but you're. But it's also that they also don't go into space, or their weapons are not primarily made of.
Okay, no, you know, okay. But I'm saying like I reject your statement that the building materials determines whether it's sci-fi or fantasy.
I think that the building material, like it all depends on the place that you live. And so, like, you don't look at King Arthur and say, oh, that is, that's science fiction.
No, it's not. But Star Wars is different. Okay, we're going away from the point here. The point is, Star Wars is something that is arguable. And clearly, you can, I hope you'll agree with me that there is an argument to be made because we are arguing about it right now.
I'm not sure what you're arguing for.
Let me get there. Star Wars is something that you can make an argument for fantasy. You can make an argument because it's got the whole King Arthur and Merlin type story going on there, a hero's journey. But you can also clearly make a very, very heavy argument for sci-fi, which, by the way, I agree with you that Star Wars is more sci-fi. But I was just saying that you can make the argument. Whereas Terminator, there is no question it's sci-fi. It's robots. It's the future. It's time travel. It's sci-fi. End of story. It's sci-fi, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
That was the only point I was trying to make. I was trying to say some franchises are arguable. This one is not. This is firmly planted sci-fi. It's also very philosophical and about you know what letting the machines control us and it's a dystopian story really. It's about no matter, especially if you watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles, no matter what we do, no matter how we try to change the course of events, what is going to happen is going to happen. Like every time they think they've beaten Skynet and prevented the birth of Skynet, it pops up somewhere else. And then it's like whack-a-mole. They have to keep going, chasing all the, and beating down the moles and they pop out of the holes. Now, with that said,
I have a point on that, but can say your thing and then I'll raise my point.
Well, maybe this is what you were going to say. And if it is, I apologize, but with that said, one of the morals of the story of Terminator and something that pops up repeatedly throughout the whole franchise is there is no fate but what you make for yourself. So that's even
not remotely close to what I was going to say.
Okay, so. Cool. So while that is, you know, they're always hitting the moles and whack-a-mole and always trying to stop Skynet from being created, there is the prevalent belief and the lesson is that you control your own destiny. You control your fate. No one is in control of it except for you. So it's interesting. It's very philosophical and it's very kind of, you know, highbrow and high concept in that way. What was your point though?
Well, I have two points. One is in favor and one is kind of making fun of Terminator. So I'll do the in favor part first. The best sci-fi makes you think philosophically. Sometimes fantasy doesn't necessarily have that capability because science fiction is almost this is what your future could look like.
Yes.
And so you have that, I didn't lose my train of thought, but I can't think of the right word. But
like we have the power to change it?
Yes, I guess. But you have that sci-fi has that advantage of this is potentially you. So you're bringing in questions of morality in the future and futurists and good and evil, right and wrong, moral decay, philanthropic and the advantages and disadvantage of philanthropic enterprises and like all those whatever, blah, 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 blah.
You said two things there. You said moral decay and you said philanthropic enterprises. And those two things make me think of, first of all, moral decay, I think of George Takei, and then moral enterprises, and I think of the Enterprise. And it raises the idea to me that what you're saying about sci-fi being philosophical and being, you know, showing you what the future could be like is very much what Star Trek did.
Oh, yeah. Star Trek showed people the future that they wanted. And
right.
Actually, it's thanks to Star Trek that we're actually really sitting in the future that we
are now. That's true.
Not necessarily in the way of space travel or uniting the nations to some degree. But I mean,
astrophysicists credit their interest in astrophysics. They credit it to Star Trek. They say, if it wasn't for William Shatner and Gene Roddenberry, I wouldn't have chosen the career I chose. That's a fact. Many engineers and physicists have said
so that. So I actually retract my statement. I was more thinking in the way of engineers or inventors that are like, oh, they're communicating wirelessly. Let's try to invent that. And here we are with, computers on our watch. That's all thanks to Star Trek. And in some ways, Star Wars too. Billy Dee Williams, Lando has that, wrist communicator thing.
Sure.
And Empire Strikes Back, and now I can do that on my own wrist. I mean, I don't control a cyborg that way, but one day.
Your phone is kind of a cyborg you control with your wristwatch.
Kind of. Siri is kind of like that.
Kind of. She's like your sexy robot assistant.
Yep. Except that my Siri is actually a British male right now. So,
Are you saying that British males can't be sexy?
Not saying that at all. But I'm making a very distinct life choice.
Okay.
By agreeing with you. I had Siri start calling me my master. So he goes, "Yes, my master." Every time.
Oh, nice.
Wait, I know.
That's cool.
Except I realized that when I send emails out, it says from my master.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I had to change it back. So now it's just my name, which is not as fun.
That is
I'm sure there's a way to fix it, but I was like, I'll figure it out later.
Eventually, you'll figure it out. do you have what's your overall thoughts on Terminator as a franchise, like kind of as we're wrapping up here, what is your like overall view?
Well, this is actually going to play into the second thing that I wanted to say.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so, no, it's fine. It works out well. You said that like it's like a choose your own destiny, but every time they go back in time or try to change it, Skynet just keeps coming up in its own way. And, so there's really no winning the battle. So my question is, if there is no winning the battle, why do they keep trying to go back in time and change it? Because they know clearly at this point that it's not working.
Because there is no fate but what you make for yourself.
That doesn't actually correlate to them changing time and having it just rewrite itself to like still be exactly the same.
Yes, and the human way.
That I understand, but if they would focus their efforts on fixing the now and destroying Skynet as opposed to going back in time and destroying Skynet, which clearly doesn't work, that's my...
Well, the going back in time, though, is going back to before... Like people in the future are coming back to the present to fix Skynet before it happens. So it is the now. It's just they have to come back to the now in time to fix the now.
So, but wouldn't the future be the technical now and you're always going into the past?
In their point of view, yes. But from our point of view, they're coming to our time.
Yes, but if the people in the future keep doing that...
But they've already lost in the future. They've already lost.
So they have no choice but to go back and reset and hope to win another
time. They're fighting the war, and people are dying like crazy, and they're continuing to fight. The resistance is continuing, but they continue to send people back to try and prevent it from starting. In the first movie, it's that the Terminators send a Terminator back in time to kill Sarah Connor before she has John Connor.
Right.
And in doing so, know, Kyle Reese goes back in time also to stop that Terminator,
right?
And ends up fulfilling the prophecy of becoming John Connor's father and putting those events into play in the first place. You know, in the second one, a good Terminator is sent back to try and protect John Connor from a different evil Terminator. And so it's different variations on that of people coming back in time to try and stop the Terminators from taking over, Terminators being sent back to make sure it happens, good Terminators being, you know, caught by the Resistance and sent back to just all these different events play out in all these different combinations. But the whole point is it's like a Rubik's Cube, and if we keep working at it, we can solve it.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so there is a definite way to fix it.
That's how I was viewed it. Like, there is a way to fix it, but
oh, so that's failing. Not official Terminator canon then?
No, I mean, not in so many words.
Terminator hurts my brain. Terminator hurts my brain. That is my official standpoint on Terminator. However, I really enjoy the first two films.
Yes.
Classic, particularly films. Judgment Day. I really liked that film when I was growing up, and it still holds up to this day. Even a lot of the effects still hold up, which is really
early really Lucasfilm, early THX, like early ILM.
Sound?
ILM.
There you go. Okay.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah.
Okay.
Early ILM stuff. Early CG, computer generated graphics from ILM, where that you know T-1000 played by Robert Patrick. When he turns to silver, it looks good.
It still looks good. Looks
pretty good.
Yeah, and actually with Terminator Genesis.
Genesis.
That's a whole conversation for a different day.
Yeah, I thought we'd get to that, but we had so much to
talk about. Yeah, we didn't even talk about the new one. I'm excited to see.
Me too.
My favorite part of Salvation was when CG Arnold showed up.
Yes, because he was at the time, I think he was still governor of California.
Yes, he was.
So to see him was kind of a treat. And it was unexpected, and it was not something that we were looking forward to in the movie, really. And it was really fun. It was really cool to see Governor Terminator, the mm-hmm. Governator. And now he's going to be back in a starring role, having aged a few years.
You see the Terminator skin, your ages.
All right, I'm gonna go with it.
Let's just go. How about we just go?
I saw the trailer and I was like, "That looks good."
Yeah.
The director.
Yes.
Arnold. You know, Arnold. I see it.
Yeah.
It's good.
All right.
My Arnold impression is not good.
Neither is mine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a lot harder than people think it is. Actually, so your final thoughts on Terminator?
My final thoughts on Terminator. Fantastic. Thought-provoking franchise that is it's got its moments where it's just like, yeah, this is fun because robots blowing stuff up, but it's also got its moments where it's like, whoa, this is like, this speaks to like the human spirit and like the human condition, and like
just like George Orwell wanted
George Orwell wanted. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I love it on many levels, and I will love it for many years to come. I'm looking for Terminator Genesis and Yeah. Those trailers look pretty great. They aired a trailer during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that trailer was really good.
Was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. So yeah, I'm super excited for it. Pumped.
Good. You're super excited.
Super.
It's not a tumor.
Where can people find us, Tim?
They can find us on Twitter at Beer with Geeks. They can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/beerwithgeeks. They can email us at beerwithgeeks@gmail.com, and they can go to our website, which is beerwithgeeks.com.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I'm getting really good at reciting it. Almost 50 episodes in.
We're getting good there. Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. Uh-huh. We've learned how to do it. They can also find us on our other show, our new podcast, Supergirl TV Talk, at supergirltvtalk.com, and that's where we talk about the upcoming CBS series Supergirl, and that's Supergirl TV Talk. .com and TV Supergirl on Twitter are the best ways to catch us there. So check us out, give us a download, give us a shout. iTunes reviews always good.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I have been Frank.
And I have been Frank's friend, Tim.
We'll be back.
You can count on it. Listen to us if you want to leave.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.